Dear congregation, this morning we meet a phenomenal man, a mighty prophet of God, a hero of the faith. His resume is very, very impressive. The king feared him, the queen hated him, and the Lord blessed him. His name, Elijah, meaning the Lord is my God. Elijah has great stories to tell. When there was a famine in the land and he was running low on food, who'd believe it? The ravens fed him. And then he moves in with a widow and she is down to her last oil and flour. But as long as Elijah's living with her, it never runs out. More oil, more flour every day, plenty to eat. And think that is something. Well, how about this? After a while, her son dies, and Elijah brings him back to life. But it gets better. Talk about high noon at the OK Corral. Elijah by himself, representing the true God, versus 450 prophets of Baal, and they're representing the false God. These prophets all worked for Queen Jezebel. Most of you have heard of Queen Jezebel, and have you ever noticed nobody names their daughters Jezebel? At the OK Corral on Mount Carmel, they are squaring off for high stakes. And that whole story can be read in chapter 18 of what were 1 Kings, but we're going to read chapter 19, so I'm just giving you a little background. It was about offering sacrifices to their respective gods. In the contest, both parties would offer a sacrifice and then call on their god to bring down fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice. Now, the god who answered with fire would be deemed the real God, the one to be revered, obeyed, and worshiped. It does not go well for the prophets of Baal. They shouted, they screamed, they danced, they cut themselves. They did this all day long. They're literally a bloody, exhausted mess. And Elijah's kind of taunting them. Hey, maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe your God went deaf. I think your God might have went on vacation. He might come back later. I think your God is busy with other things. He doesn't have time for you now. Nothing happens. And finally, they give up. Then it is Elijah's turn to call on his God. And to make this really impressive, talk about Elijah's confidence. He drenches the altar with water, not once, not twice, three times. Everything is just soaking wet, saturated. And he calls on his God, the God Jehovah, and God answers with fire. Not just he brought him a match, no, a consuming fire. God burns up the sacrifice, burns up the altar, the wood, the stones, the soil around it, and evaporates all the water. It's an amazing victory. And as part of the victory, Elijah kills all 450 of Jezebel's prophets, our priests. Slaughters them right there in the valley. This makes King Ahab, Jezebel's husband, really, really nervous. See, Ahab was a weak man, a man who tried to walk the middle of the road. In some ways, he tried to be a believer. He would keep a little contact with Elijah, but he is scared to death of his pagan wife, Jezebel. And maybe more so than the wife, he was also really scared of his father-in-law, Ethbaal. Baal with Eth in front of it, Ethbaal, who was the priest king of Phoenicia. So good warning here, always be careful about the family you marry into. Ahab is scared to death. He doesn't know what to do. So his best shot, he figures, is to quickly tell Queen Jezebel. And this was probably to save his own neck. He gives her the bad news. And here's an understatement. She was not happy. Queen Jezebel dispatches a messenger to Elijah with this blistering threat. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. She has put a curse on him. Elijah is a dead man. So, how does Elijah respond to this? Based on his resume, what would we expect? We would expect things like, big deal. What can she do? Look what happened yesterday. Hey, wouldn't you picture him just laughing at her? Hey, threaten me, Queenie. My God will burn you up too. Makes sense, doesn't it? Jezebel, do you have any idea who you're messing with? I'm Elijah, the Lord. Jehovah is my God. I'm his prophet. I'm not afraid of you or your idols. Let's read what happens. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. It's page 508 in your pew Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll read the first 8 verses. Hear the word of God. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Were you disappointed when we read the story? This great man of God is afraid of Jezebel and her threats. He runs. He hides in the desert under a broom tree. A broom tree is just kind of like a shrub brush. It grows about 10 feet tall. He wishes to die. God, I can't take this anymore. Take my life. See, suicide was forbidden, but this is a loophole. I don't want to commit suicide, so I just pray, God, take my life. God, take my life. He sees no hope. He's overwhelmed with fear. He's discouraged. He feels his life is worthless. His mission has failed, and he's scared to death. He even says, you know what? I'm no better than my ancestors, implying they somehow were failures also. What's the use of all of this? Elijah's exhausted and worn out. Some might say classic depression. Dealing with fear, isolation, exhaustion, no energy, suicidal thoughts. Elijah, a hero of the faith, a man of God, defeated. Defeated. But the story is not over, because all that we have seen is a human reaction. Did you catch the words? And then God shows up. When God shows up, that's always His grace. God's presence is His our grace in our lives. And in God showing up, there's really three components to it. The first one is instructions. The second one is provision. And the third one is response or application. What's the instructions? Verse 5, get up and eat. The provisions, bread and water and rest. The response, he ate, he drank, he slept some more. And then God shows up a second time and says, get up and eat, else the journey will be too great for you. In other words, he's saying, Elijah, you can't do this alone. You cannot do this in your own strength. Elijah, you are overwhelmed and you are under-equipped. But let me be your provider, both physical and spiritual. Remember, Elijah, the amazing things that happened, they only happened through me. You didn't make that happen. Get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. And in that, he also tells Elijah that, Elijah, your work's not done. You haven't come to the end of the road. We got work to do. I have plans for you. And then in verse 8, we read Elijah strengthened by the food. I mean, this is good food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights. That was no snack pack. And where does it take him? It takes him to Mount Horeb. The other name for Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. It's where God met Moses and gave him instructions and equipped him for the wilderness trip. And this is where Elijah also meets God. He's there to spend time with God. This time he is not running away. He's running to God. He's running to his presence. So what do we glean out of all of this? It's a fascinating story. Maybe you're thinking, well, it wouldn't even make a bad movie. But can our experiences be like Elijah's? You ever have great spiritual success? We call them mountaintop experiences. Things went really well, riding so high. Things are going so good. I feel like I've won the battle in the spiritual warfare. Satan doesn't scare me at all. But fear takes over quite quickly. And we run and we hide. We get afraid of Satan's threats. We look at the turmoil and the wickedness in our world, in our country, in our community, in our churches, and in our homes. We can have fear within our families. We can wonder what's going to happen next. Maybe we question our own spiritual life. God, are you really there? Was this thing kind of just a lucky coincidence? Was it really you? We feel afraid. We wonder, is there any use in going on? Just take me, Lord. Just let me die. I've had enough. This morning, just like with Elijah, God comes to us. This morning, Jesus, who is the bread of life, who is life-sustaining, is reaching out to you and to me and says, get up and eat. Get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. You can't do this alone. You can't do this in your own strength. But let me feed you. Let me provide for you. Let me equip you. There is still life to be lived. There's still work to be done. This morning, I don't know what you are exhausted with, what you're running away from, or what you need courage for. But I know this. When you spend time with Him, when you spend time with Him through worship, through reading your Bible, through your daily devotions, you will be revived. Our God is an awesome God. And as impressive as the consuming fire for the sacrifice on Mount Carmel was when Elijah called out to God, we know of an even greater sacrifice. The perfect Lamb of God on Mount Calvary, that continues to shake the world even to this day. And just like the priest of Baal, will destroy all who deny Him. As the fire on Mount Carmel wiped out everything, so Jesus' shed blood wipes out all of our sins, refines us for the journey of life, and gives us renewed hope. This morning, Jesus is inviting you to come to Him at the table, to be strengthened for your journey. As the table has been prepared, God, through His Son, Jesus, invites us with these things, these words, come, for all things are now ready. Let's get up and eat. Father, we come to You. We thank You for the story of Elijah, and we thank You for even the greater story in the gospel. Father, we also thank You that You have included the story of Elijah to show us his humanity, and to know that, yes, he too was weak, just like we are, until he's empowered by You, and then he is strong, and that power is also available to us. Your word teaches us that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to those who profess him as Savior and Lord. It's really beyond our comprehension. We don't even know how that works. But we know You're a faithful God, and we can trust You, and will You keep equipping us and filling us with Yourself? So, Father, we thank You for the story in 1 Kings, and we thank You for even the greater story in the Gospels. Thank You how You have revealed Yourself to us in such a way that we can be Your children and part of the family of God. Father, I pray for a blessing on this message. Anything that was said that didn't please You, would You just delete that from our minds? And all that was truthful, would You inscribe that with indelible ink on our hearts? We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.